All right, if you would take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew, chapter number 6. I want us to begin reading in verse number 26. Matthew 6 and verse 26, you find that. If you want to, you can turn over to Luke chapter 11. And we'll read some verses there also. So find both places. Matthew chapter 6. And then Luke chapter number 11. Verse number 26 of Matthew 6 says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" What a wonderful question. There's a statement here where the Lord says to behold the fowls of the air. They don't work, they don't toil, but yet they're fed, and they're fed by the heavenly Father. And so we can see that every day. We see it all the time. And then the next statement he says in that next part of the verse, "Are you not better than they?" God loves us. God cares for us. And if He can take care of the fowls of the air, I'm sure He can take care of you and I, for He is our Heavenly Father. "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto His stature?" We can answer that. No one can do that. If we could, we'd have a lot of tall guys so that we could play basketball all the time in Kentucky. So if we could, we'd raise our height a little bit more. But which of you can do that? And there's none. Verse 28 says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, is not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Greeks seek, and your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee," or unto you. Now look over in Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 9. The Bible says in verse 9, "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" In these verses, you'll find two or three references to our Heavenly Father. I'm glad this morning that I have a Heavenly Father. I'm glad that I have a relationship with the God of Heaven, and He's not just a God out there somewhere in the distance that I don't know, and He's not just a higher authority and a power out there that's just foreign and distant. But the Bible says that when we trust His Son, Jesus, that He becomes our Father. And a father is that personal relationship that we can express with each other, that we can know and have the blessings of fellowship. Today's being Father's Day, I thought it would be good if we would see some of the gifts that comes from our earthly father, and it comes simply because we have a heavenly Father. And we see it expressed all throughout the Scripture. And as we've read these verses this morning in Matthew and also in Luke, we find that so much more of what our earthly parents will do for us is that God is much more abundantly concerned with our welfare. If we think our our earthly parents have been good to us, that's no comparison of how good our Heavenly Father is to us. That's no comparison of how that God has blessed us and will continue to bless. Our Father cares beyond all human understanding and reasoning, and He will always be there for us. Now, we may travel a long distance from Him in our attitudes and our way of life, and we may not be as close to Him as we once were, but we'll find out He is right exactly where we left Him. We'll find exactly that He is there waiting for us to return, like that prodigal of the book of Luke that went to a far distant country, spent all that he had in righteous living, and one day he came to himself, and he realized that in his father's house, the servants had it better than he had. And so he said, well, I think I'll just arise and go back to my father. And you know where he found his father? He found his father waiting for him, and he found his father watching for him, because the father saw him coming from a long distance. Now, the only way you're going to see somebody coming from a far distance or a long distance is you've got to have your eyes attached that way. You've got to have your attitudes looking that direction, knowing and thinking and believing and hoping and desiring that surely this is the day that my son will return home. As that older man, that father watched the days go by and maybe even the months and years go by, he never did give up the idea that one day his son would come home. And the boy came to himself and he realized what a terrible condition he was in. He's down there feeding the swine. He's down there not just feeding them, but the Bible says he was eating with them. Just the scraps of the table. And I can remember my mom and dad, we had those things called hogs. And you go out there and everything about them is bad, except ham and sausage and pork chops. But everything on this side of the green earth is bad. They don't smell good. They don't look good. They don't act good. They're just not good to be around. And I can remember going out and Mom would, everything that was left from the food or from the table for 2 or 3 days, they just throw it over in a bucket. Well, the more rotten it got, the more those pigs liked that. And can you imagine, here's a Jewish boy that has rejected his father and his father's house. And being a Jew, they wasn't even to touch a pig, much less be down there with them. And here he is, he's taken the goods of his father's house, and he said, just give me what's mine and I'll leave. Sort of like some young folks today that say, just let me have what's mine, I'll get out of here and won't bother you and you won't bother me. And I want to go do what I want to go do and I'll just do my own thing. Well, this young man did that. He went down there and he did his own thing. He had a good time for a while. He wasted his substance. Now, he probably didn't think he was wasting it at the moment. He probably thought, boy, I'm living it up. I've got friends. I'm doing all right. Boy, look, I've got this one over here and I've got this one here. I've got this guy and I've got this gal. We're doing okay. And he's wasting all the things that his father gave him. And one day he woke up to the realization that all his substance was gone. And he looked around, all the guys were gone, all the girls were gone. All things left was him. And he got hungry. And he decided, well, I got to get a job doing something. And the only thing he could find was taking care of the hogs. And the Bible says he was down there. This is Kentucky language now. He's slopping the hogs. Everybody knows what that is. And he's down there, and the Bible says he was down there, he eat with them. And he came to the realization. You know, sometimes we have to get down there before we can get back up here. Sometimes we have to get down in the murk and the mire before we get back on solid ground. Sometimes we have to get dirty before God can clean us up. And so he comes down here and he's thinking, my goodness, my dad has servants. He has hired people. They're living better than I am. They're doing better than I am, and I'm his son. You know, there's a lot of people living better than some of the sons of God that I know. And he said, I think I'm going to go back and I'll tell my father that I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your servants. Now, I'm paraphrasing. And he said, I'll get me a job. My dad, he'll take care of, and I'll just be like a servant. But the father was watching a long time. He saw his son coming down the dusty road. And he looks and he said, that sort of looks like somebody I know. And he gets a little closer and he says, I believe that may be my boy. And he looks a little longer and gets a little closer and he realizes that's my son. The Bible says he goes out and he runs and he puts a ring of sonship on him. He puts a robe around him, which represents the robe of righteousness that we get from our Father. The sonship ring represents what we get in salvation. And he put all those things in. And the son said, now, Father, wait just a minute. I'm no more worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me a servant. And he didn't get all those words out. His father said, come, we're going to kill the fatted calf. Wonder why he had a fatted calf. Did you ever wonder about that? I read that one time. And why did he have a fatted calf? I believe he was waiting for his son to come home. He was waiting for that boy to make that trip back from the hog pen back to the place where he could have real substance. So they killed the fatted calf and they rejoiced and had a good time that night and he got back in fellowship. Boy, thank God for fellowship. Now he had another son. I believe he was just as bad off as this one. Maybe a little worse. He was a hypocrite about it. He said, why are you doing all that for him? He's the one left. I stay here all the time. Didn't do any of that for me. Oh, what an attitude. So a father waits and longs and looks for his son to come home. I want us to think this morning about some things that godly fathers do for us. And some things that they help us with. And it's all because that we have a Heavenly Father. Now the Bible gives us a lot of examples of good earthly fathers. Abraham was a great father. He was a father that was obedient even to the sacrificing and the offering of his only son, Isaac. That's pretty obedient. That's a good example of a sacrificial father. In obedience, Jacob was a loving provider for his children, and of course we know that he gave the coat of many colors to Joseph, and he loved his son. We find that in the New Testament you have Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He was the one that was able to overcome doubt. I'm sure he had gotten to the point, I'm never going to have a son. You see, in a Jewish family, the most important thing to happen was for that family to have a boy. Because there was the hope that one day through that family and that lineage may come the Messiah. And so they desired boy, children, and they wanted these male children because that was the hope of the Messiah. And I'm sure Zechariah had given up because time had gone by. They had passed the age. Yet we know that the Lord came and Zechariah makes a trip from doubt to faith and realizes that he's got a son born. He calls him John. Called John the Baptist. What a great father. I think about Joseph, the father of Jesus Christ, supposedly. They all thought he was, but he knew. You see, he had had talk and conversation with his Heavenly Father. All the world may have thought something. Now, at first, Joseph had a little bit of a problem, and he probably thought, what am I going to do? Because he could have put her away privately. For she has been found with child now, having never been with Joseph. And he could have put her away, and she would have never been seen again. One of the great men of the New Testament is this man named Joseph. A man of character. And so we find that he was a careful listener, for the Lord says, here's what's going on. And the Holy Ghost has overshadowed her, and that which she has in her womb is none other than the Son of God. And Joseph was listening, and he performed the duty, and he did those things. And what a great example he was to to all of us as a father. The Apostle Paul is the father of our faith. He had no children, but no children, but no children, but no children. But this is what they gave to us sometimes, even from a distance. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, and we'll read these verses, and this is God talking, and because God can say this, our fathers can do this to us, and we being fathers now can do that to our children. It's just a continual process. Genesis 12 and 2, God told to Abraham, He says, I'll make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. I'm glad, thank God, my father blessed me. He's given me many, many things. He gave me some understanding that I wouldn't have had. He gave me some thoughts and some ideas that nobody else could have given me. And it's an amazing thing how we take on the traits of our family. It's amazing to watch, and when you know families so very closely, you can just see the traits of different family members in that particular person. I used to be told, oh, you walk just like your dad. I watched him walk, and I didn't see nothing different about that. But people say, when you walk off just like your dad. And I didn't understand that. I still don't understand how that can be, because he didn't train me how to walk. But those are traits that we have. And I hear people laugh. They laugh just like their mother or their father. They have expressions. And it's those things that have given us, that have blessed us. And it's amazing just how God puts families together. And I'm going to use some examples this morning. I hope I don't embarrass you. If I do, I'll apologize later, but I'm going to use it anyway. Stephen back there. Now, how old was you when Lanny got killed? He was 7 years old. How old was you, Lana? You was 10. Oh, I didn't know you was that much older than Stephen.
Well, 10 weeks before Stephen.
Oh, okay. Okay. But it's amazing to me, as much as I knew Lanny and served with him in other churches, it's amazing how much I see in those two. They don't have all the recollection that I do of my dad. But when Stephen laughs, Lanny laughs. Expressions that Lana has is her dad. And that only comes because we belong to them. You and I this morning, as a child of God, should be some expressions and some laughs and some things that God has given to us, that we only have it because we belong to Him. It's not that we've heard about it, and I know they have, and I'm just using them as an example and story because I knew Lanny so well. They've heard stories of what their dad did and how he served and what all. And they've heard all those things. But that still doesn't change their actions because it's already there. And you and I this morning, I can say that I was blessed by my Father because I belong to Him. And I'm blessed by my Heavenly Father because I belong to Him. He is mine and I'm His. And so therefore we have a relationship that can never be severed, can never be taken away. And even though our earthly fathers may pass away and may be gone, it does not change what they've left behind us and given to us and how they bless us. A godly father would say, like the Lord said to Joshua, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. You see, His promises never fail. His power never fails. The wonderful things that God has given to us never fails. And our fathers can say, I'm going to stay with you. I can hear my dad now say, son, as long as you stay right, I'll be with you. And I'll support you. That's a great blessing to know that He's going to be there. The Lord says in Psalm number 32 and verse number 8, He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. What a blessing to know that God says, I'll guide you. I'll help you. I'll give you the direction that you're to have. And just to have guidance from the Lord, but to have guidance from an earthly father, what a wonderful thing. It's a great responsibility that God has given we men that are fathers to guide our children and to get them into the things of the Lord and to keep them straight in the path of righteousness. And we are to guide them as God would guide us and direct our paths. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, well, I'll help thee. I will uphold thee in the right hand of my righteousness. Boy, there's a lot of things right there God said He'd do for us. And a godly father would do the same thing for his child. I'm sure you've heard just recently about the man, I'm not even sure what state it was in. The man came up on his 4 or 5 year old daughter being molested by another man. He killed him. And then they come along and say, well, should he be charged? No. He sees that man molesting his daughter. What would you do? Buddy, I'd do the same thing. I wouldn't want him to take another breath. And so we find that the Lord says, I'll help you, I'll strengthen thee. Don't be surprised, don't be dismayed. I will help thee and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We are, as parents, we are involved in the lives of our children, so therefore, anyone that would disrupt that, we are very against that. Any person of any stamina at all, or any reasoning at all, would take those things into hand and say, well, now, you stop that, I'm going to call the cops. No, no, you don't take time to do that, you take care of it. That's a father that cared for his daughter. And God says, don't be dismayed, I'll take care of you also. I'll help you. You know, you realize there's not a thing that can harm you that God doesn't know about. There's not a thing that has not come upon you that God hasn't either sent your way or has at least permitted it to come for a reason, for a purpose, to help you and to strengthen you. And God, He says, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. I'll never put more on you than you can handle, because He said, I know where your load limit is. I know where it is. And God said, then I can take it over. I'm glad when I get past the limit of my carrying, I'm glad He says, cast your cares upon me. That's the Father. We read in Luke this morning, chapter 11, which of you would give your son if he asked for bread? Or if he asked for fish, or whatever he asked for, would give him something totally wrong. Every one of us this morning that have younger children, if they ask us for things, we try our best to do that if it's something reasonable. Which of us would not do things for our immediate family, our children, our grandchildren? Amy says she wished she'd been my granddaughter. She'd have got a lot more. But who of us would not do things for our children, our grandchildren, because I'd like to have a hamburger. Well, go out and get them a rock. Would we do that? No. How much more our Heavenly Father cares about our needs? How much more the Lord would give us what we have need of than even we that are earthly fathers? He says, I'll deliver you. I'll uphold you with my right hand. All these things God says that He will do for us, and a godly father does the same thing. Isaiah 49 tells us, and it's the woman side of it, but it's talking about parents. And just as a lady cannot forget her child, neither can a man. I mean, there's that relationship that is a blood relationship. I do not understand it, but just like I said a while ago, there's things that I know Stephen did not see in his dad, but it's there. And it's a blood relationship. And you and I this morning, we have a relationship with our Father, and there are things that should be here just because of that relationship that we have. I mean, we have traits of our family. All of us. When we set our families aside and put them side by side and you watch them a little while, you'll find there are traits that are there that are not trained. They're not said, now this is the way you do this. This is the way you handle. This is the way you smile. This is the way you walk. Those things are not taught. Those things that are just given to us because we belong to our parents. And you and I this morning as a believer, there are some things that should be there just because He is our God. Faithfulness should be there. Honoring the Lord should be there. Trusting Him should be there. All those things. Can we forget our children? Never. Can we give them up? Never. Can we put them out of our minds? Never. Isaiah 49 says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, God says. There is a possibility, and we know we live in a society when people throw children away. There is a possibility that would happen. There's a real reasoning behind that, that all these things are connected with the sin nature of man, that we might could do that, but God says, I will never do that. Oh, thank the Lord this morning. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. Praise the Lord. God says, I will comfort you. Isaiah 66. How many times we've been comforted by our parents? How many times we have a scrape or a bruise? All they'd have to do is say, come here and let me kiss it. It'd be all right. That's the comfort of a family. That's the comfort of knowing fellowship. Oh, but how many times God tells us, I'll take care of you. I'll help you. Sure, you've got problems. Sure, there's difficulties. But God said, I will comfort you. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you that which you need when the rest is gone and the sleep is gone from your eyes and the tiredness comes on the body. Thank God He can give you rest because He's our Heavenly Father. He can say and does say, I will forgive you. How many times God has forgiven us? I'm glad He forgave me one night when I trusted Him as my personal Savior. He forgave me my sin. But I'm sure glad that's not the last time that He forgave me. I'm glad that's not the only time that He has forgiven me. He's forgiven me time after time after time because He's my Father. I can remember some incidences, and I'm sure all of us can, when we did not make our parents happy. I can remember a lot of those. Now, I didn't do a lot that I wanted to do because I was afraid it'd pass the unhappiness to murder. I mean, there's some things I just would not have done because I knew that would got killed. But I can remember times when they wasn't happy with me. I remember times that we had family discussions. We didn't have a very big family. And when we had family discussions, I was the topic. I'm not like some of y'all have four or five siblings and have family discussion. You say, boy, I can pull it off on them. No, when we had family discussion, buddy, I knew who the topic was. It's right here. Just me. There's advantages and there are disadvantages. More dis than advantage. And I can remember those set downs around the table. Now my dad, he drank his coffee. He smoked his cigarettes. He died because of the cigarettes. And we'd sit around the table, and he said, "Son," I said, "Oh, me." He said, I want to ask you a question." I didn't want to hear it. And I knew when he asked, I better be truthful, because he never asked unless he already knew the answer. So I asked him one time, "Why do you always ask me if you know the answer?" He said, "I want you to tell me the answer. I want you to be honest." I'm glad for that now. I sure didn't like it then. And then there are those times that get all said and done, and you'd hear the words, "I forgive you." I'm glad one day I heard that from the Lord. Forgiven. Just forgiven. Am I perfect? No, but I am forgiven. Am I going to live right all the days of my life? Am I going to live perfect? No. But I'm going to live a forgiven life. Because one day He came to me and forgave me. Made me a creature in Christ, a new creature. Now those are nine things that God has given to us as men and families, as adults, that we can do for our children. But there's one thing God reserves for Himself. You see, God always reserves something for Himself. In the Garden of Eden, He reserved a tree. He always reserves. In our life, He reserves the tithe. In our lives, He reserves the opportunities to serve Him. And in these things, God has reserved one thing that my dad, my mom, nobody could ever have done for me. Ezekiel 36 and 26 says, "A new heart also will I give you." Only God can do that. A new heart. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now we have parents that help us to realize what all about, but only God can do the giving of a new heart. The New Testament, we call that being saved, being born again. I'm glad I got a new heart. I'm old enough that I can remember when they had that first heart transplant. Boy, that's a long time ago. I can remember the fellow in South Africa that had the artificial heart that they put in different people to live longer. But they couldn't do what God does. For you see, God gives us a new heart. You talk about a heart transplant. God been doing that a long time before man ever thought about it. He told Ezekiel, "A new heart will I give to you." One day when you got saved, God gave you a new heart. Put in your heart a new life and a new reality and a new relationship. Thank God for the heart that He has given, and only God can do that. Our Heavenly Father and our earthly Father can do a lot of the same things, but only God can do that. I'm not saved because I had a mom and dad that were saved. I was saved because good day God gave me a new heart. And you're the same way if you're a believer this morning. So here on Father's Day, our fathers, our parents can do a lot for us. And thank God for everything they can do. But there's one thing God reserves for Himself. I'll give you a new heart. Now mom and dad can teach us about it. They can help us with it. They can show us the way. Sunday school teachers and friends and loved ones can do all those things to point us to that. But only God can do it. He said, "I'll give you a new one." If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you know what you need? You need a heart transplant. That's just all it is. If I'd have thought of it, I'd 20 years ago, I guess, I preached on heart transplant. I used some of the same. Outdated now. But God does the same thing for us. He takes the old one out, puts a new one in. And you know what it takes to have a heart transplant? I do remember this. It takes the death of another. You're not going to get a new heart transplant on this earth unless somebody dies. You're not going to get a new heart transplant spiritually until you realize somebody died for you. His name is Jesus. Thank God what He can do for us.
Let's stand together this morning.